Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
Part three and the final message of the real horror story. Amen. How many's made every part of this series so far? And I think you know what the most horrible thing we talked about in the first week was, that you face a life where you think you're something and you're not. You think you're going to make it to heaven on your good works. You think you're going to make it to heaven because you give some money or something, and you find out that you got to have a personal relationship of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen? And so today I want to come, and I want to get started with this, but let's pray before we go any further again. Father, thank you for, again, the experience that people's already been touched, lives changed, and to what degree heaven knows on earth, God, and we thank you for it. But Lord, we come to the word right now that should spur us on into our healing, and if we didn't get it, to complete it today, God, and for you to have given us every opportunity, Lord, to get everything your word promises is another chance today, right now. So Lord, let your word come alive, let it come into us and make a difference, leading us to Christ, leading us back to Christ, leading us forward into the things of God and his kingdom, in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Amen. So when we talk about horror stories this week, we're not talking about a bunch of white little critters, or green, or whatever color you want to make them, floating through the air, ghostly things. We're not talking about monsters, or we're not even talking about haunted houses, which is real popular in this season of what they call Halloween. You know, and sometimes, how many of you grew up like this? You were afraid what was hiding in the dark. Come on, at one point in your childhood, come on, raise your hand, because I think we all did. Even the guys, come on, what was under the bed, or what was in the closet, and you know, and can I tell you that you made it through that? That critter in there wasn't real, and it didn't come out and get you, did it? But it didn't stop you from having that fear get on you. I think we all face that. I think every child faces that growing up. But I want to go ahead and put up the first note tonight, or today. The scariest thing I believe that we're trying to do while we're on earth is live a holy life without the one ghost there is, and that's the Holy Ghost. Do you know you cannot live a holy life without a Holy Ghost? Thousands are trying it. A lot of good, intentional, God kind of fearing people who do love God are trying to be holy based on their own countenance, and they do pretty good sometimes, but how many know they're constantly in struggle, they constantly fail, they constantly are walking under condemnation and guilt and anxiety and fear. A lot of good Christians are doing that. And that's because, listen to me now, you're trying to produce something on your own when God says you're not equipped to do that. You understand? You and I are not equipped to live a holy life on our best day. We need help. Touch your neighbor and say, you need some help. That was too easy for you. Anyway, just look back up here. Don't start. So the first thing I think we have to establish about walking a good Christian walk out 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and this may sound silly to you, but you would be amazed at how many people don't agree with this first note. So let's go ahead and put it up. And that is the Bible. Everybody say the Bible. The Bible is what? Now, it's not just truth, some truth, a few truths. It is absolute truth. And if you survey a lot of people today, they'll say, do you believe the Bible is absolute truth? They will say, I believe in parts of it. I don't believe everything in the Bible is absolute, and I don't believe it's all true. And I'm talking about, these are interviewing church people, pastors included. There are pastors trying to preach the Bible that will say, I believe a lot of it is relevant, or we can make it relevant, but I don't think everything in here is absolutely true. A lot of people don't believe in the healing power of God. And I'm like, well, then why do you have a prayer list? Well, I mean, we think God might can heal if he wants to, but we don't, I mean, we don't believe in that, you know, you pray and you get healed and the miraculous of it like that. I'm like, well, then why do you bother God with praying about it? That's not a prayer of faith. That's a prayer of doubt. That's horrible. That's why I don't want everybody praying for me if something goes wrong in my life. I'm serious. I don't. I don't want people praying, well, Lord, you know, he probably done something and you put him down for this, God. Oh, Lord, you know, heal him if it be your will. Please, if you ever have to pray for me, don't pray if it be his will. I've read his book. It's his will. Are y'all okay? Now, this morning, we're going to be in a few different spots, but we're going to hear from Jesus Christ, the words written in red. You're going to hear a lot of Jesus today in his words, okay? We're going to hear from John the Baptist this morning in one verse. And we're going to hear from the Apostle Luke in one verse. But the rest of it, we're just going to, everybody say, let's just hear from Jesus. Let's just hear mainly from Jesus today. But we will bring in his forerunner, which is John the Baptist, for one verse. And we're going to bring in Luke for one verse. Are y'all okay? So now, based on that the Bible is absolute truth, let's see what Jesus actually said about this. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, he said and answered and said, now these are the words of Jesus, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but say this with me, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Everybody say every word. Every word. Every word. That means in your Bible from Genesis to Revelation is the word. We put them in verses and chapters, but every chapter, every verse, and every word is from the mouth of God. If you're a true believer, you believe that. If you're not a true believer, you can hang out with all the lost people. Okay, I love y'all too. But I'm serious. You either got to say it. If part of it's real, then it's all real. But if there's a part that's false, then all of it's false. But I'm here to tell you, it's all real. Every word, every dot, every tittle of the Bible, of the Word of God, is absolute truth. And it will stand through the test of time. Now let's go on to John chapter 16. Let's see what Jesus says here. Now, Jesus, this statement just blows you away. He tells his disciples and all of his people, he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Everybody say, yeah, he's a truth teller. He says, it's to your advantage that I go away. Stop there. Now, he's fixing to depart, we know that. But he's telling them, it's better for you if I leave planet Earth. That's a weird statement. How much better could it get if Jesus leaves? Wow. And that's what he said. He says, if I leave, it's going to get better. That's what to your advantage means. It's going to be an advantage to you. Now, let me tell you why. Because Jesus was confined, just like we are, into an earthly dirt suit called the body. He could only be in one place at one time. Now, in his mind and in his spirit, he knew everything going on all over. But physically, he was bound by a body that had to travel walking or ride a donkey or a camel. He had to live in a tent. He built stuff. So he was confined in one body, one place at one time. And that's not to our advantage going forward. Because today, he might not be up here with us. He might be hanging out in Jerusalem or Samaria or somewhere like that. He might be in Ukraine and Russia dealing with some stuff right now if he's just one person. He said, it's better that I go away. Now watch what he says here. For if I do not go away, everybody say the helper. Other translations use two other translations of this. It says, one says the comforter, another translation calls your advocate. Now we know who this is. This is not the Father, God the Father. This is not Jesus Christ himself. This is the third part of God who is a person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to be our helper, our comforter, our counselor, our guide, our advocate. Okay? He says, if I stay, he can't come. Okay, not like I want him to anyway. Not like he's designed to do. Now watch this. He says, if I do not go away, the helper or the comforter or the advocate will not come to you. But if I depart, I, Jesus, will send what? Him, a person. Him to you. Not just the people who are on the platform. He said, I'm going to send it to anybody who is born of my spirit. Amen? Now, we're going to take that one word, helper. Now, we're going to do some Greek, okay? So hang on. Now, in the Bible, when you study the Holy Spirit, the word spirit is the word pneuma. And it means breath or wind. It's the breath and wind of God. And most of you that's been here know when they scooped up the dirt to create Adam, the Bible says that the Spirit came and blew pneuma, blew wind into him, blew the Holy Spirit, and brought him alive. Amen? We know that. That's in the Bible. The word spirit is pneuma, and it's always pneuma in the Greek. However, here we are talking about the Holy Spirit, okay? So kind of stay with me. He is saying, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, but he's telling you what the Holy Spirit's role is. He's going to help you. He's going to be your comforter. He's going to be your advocate, okay? So what he's describing here is the role of the Holy Spirit, which is the person of God. This is yes, okay? So I want you to understand that. So let's put up the word helper, which is a description of the pneuma of God, which is the Spirit of God. The helper is the word paracletes, okay? You with me? And it means this right here. It means to comfort. Again, that's where they get the word comforter. It means to encourage. It means to exhort. It is used as a legal advisor. In other words, he's your lawyer in the courtroom declaring you not guilty. Thank you, Lord. Okay? He's your legal advisor. He's your pleader. In other words, he will plead your case. Yay for that. He's your proxy, or he's your advocate. Now, watch this. One who comes forward in behalf of and as a representative of another, in other words, an intercessor. Aren't you glad the Holy Ghost is interceding for you right now before God the Father and the Son? Amen? I'm so thankful for that. Now, this is all under the Greek definition out of the Strong's Concordance. Okay, so I'm not making any of this up. Go ahead and put up the rest of it. It's a long definition. In other words, and it says this, Christ designates the Holy Spirit as a paraclete. Okay? Paraclete means helper, comforter, advocate. Okay, so now we're getting into what that means. It's the word paraclete. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is designated by Jesus Christ as equal with himself. Come on now. For some reason, in a lot of religious structures, we see God the Father and Jesus, and like we treat the Holy Spirit like he's less than. But the Greek definition of the word paraclete, which it says Jesus Christ assigned this title to the Holy Spirit, says he's equal with him. Yeah. Now, how many is afraid of Jesus? Raise your hand if you're scared of Jesus Christ. You think he's got something bad for you. You think he's a terrorizer. You think he's just going to be use you and abuse you, make you look stupid. Anybody afraid of Jesus? You know how many people are afraid of the Holy Spirit, though? And that is a lot to do with the churches that have misrepresented him. I get it. I get it, okay? But just because they've misrepresented him, you know what? A lot of people have misrepresented Jesus, but we still love Jesus. And we'll stand on Jesus and God the Father. But again, let me tell you something. You better understand why the Holy Spirit's here. And you better invite him in to the fullness. I said to the fullness. Now, we ain't through with this definition of paraclete. So the paraclete, the helper, is equal to Jesus in our lives. Because Jesus is not here, folks. The Bible says Jesus ascended, and he is sit down at the right hand of the Father, waiting for the Father to say, go get him. That's his position now, and that will be his position until he gets up and comes and gets us. Amen. Next part of the definition of the word paracletus. The Holy Spirit is called a paraclete because he again, it's a person, he undertakes Christ's office in the world, in this cosmos system, while Christ is not in the world as the God-man in bodily form. So there was we couldn't live without him, but when he had to go away, now he can send his person of the Holy Spirit, not to be in one body, but to be in everybody that wants him. That's why it's to our advantage. I can have him, and I got him. You can have him if you want him. Good stuff. All right, put up the last part of the definition, I think this is. The Holy Spirit is also called the paraclete because he acts as Christ's substitute on earth. Amen? He has all the authority. He has all the name. He has all the anointing. And he now is the sole proprietor over earth with us in heaven and God in us, Jesus. Amen. Why? Because he is all of that in himself. Right. Touch your neighbor and ask them if they just got scared. So Jesus is saying, if you really break it down, he's saying, you think it's scary to lose me? That's not scary, guys. That's my assignment. I'm going to tell you what's scary is trying to live on this planet after I leave and not receive my Holy Spirit. That's going to be scary for you guys. But now I'm going to make it to where you have no excuses. Because I'm going to offer it again, just like I offered my life, just like Jesus offered his life. He's going to offer the Holy Spirit to us for free. Just by faith. Y'all okay? Now let's hear what John the Baptist said. Everybody say John the Baptist. That what we know as the forerunner of Jesus Christ to announce the coming Messiah. And John's doing that in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. John says this right here. John says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. So John's baptism was what? Unto repentance, water under repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy even to carry. He, this person coming, and we know him as Jesus Christ. He, Jesus Christ, he will what? Now, how's he going to baptize you? That doesn't mean he's going to go around to every single person himself and do this. He can't. He's in a human form. And he's not alive for us today. He's alive in heaven, but not on earth. But his spirit is. This Jesus is going to baptize you with what? With the Holy Spirit and fire. Don't get excited. And I know some of you are not getting excited because you kind of, oh, he's going to this Holy Ghost thing. You ought to be, he's going toward the Holy Ghost. He's going to what's available to every person on the planet if they'll just take him. You ought to be getting excited to learn this. And if you've already know it, you ought to be able to get excited because you're hearing it again. So John the Baptist was on board. Now let's go back. Everybody say Jesus. Let's get us some more Jesus word. Now Jesus is fixing to ascend and go back to heaven. In Luke, here's Luke, the Apostle Luke, verse 20, chapter 24, verse 49. Jesus' words here. Jesus said, behold, I send the promise of my Father. Now, if the Father promises you everlasting life and you believe that, raise your hand. That's good. The Father promised us that he would make a way that we could be born again and receive salvation and be with him forever, and it's going to be through his Son, Jesus Christ. That was a promise of the Father. Isaiah prophesied about the virgin birth. And people believed that, and when he showed up, they recognized it, and they got born again, and we love that, because it was a promise that God gave us. God loves us, and he's only going to promise us things that help us. Right? Great. We all agree. I'm going to Jesus, and this is Jesus speaking. Jesus says, I'm sending you the promise of the Father upon you, but I need you to go tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. In other words, I need you to get together, get out of all the hustle bustle of the world, quit worrying about what everybody else thinks, get away from all the religious people, all the different denominations. I want you guys to huddle up and get in unity. And it took them 10 days to get in unity. It did. Study it out. It was 10 days they were in the upper room praying. And you know those 10 days they probably argued, they fussed, they didn't know what's going on, I'm tired, he ain't showed up yet, hey, I know it's a promise, I don't think he's going to keep his promise, I'm out of here maybe, no, come on, just hang with us, well, I don't know. And then on the 10th day it showed up. On the feast day it showed up. I ain't got time to get into that. Now let's go to Jesus' words again. Let's see what else Jesus has to say about it. Because I think we can trust Jesus. I'm going to be honest with you, I think I can trust John the Baptist. And I'm pretty sure I can trust Luke when I read Luke here in a little bit, because he was one of the apostles I believe I can trust. So let's go back to Jesus, whom I think we could all put our trust in. Jesus says in Acts chapter 1, but you shall receive, everybody say it with me, power. Now that word power there, most of you know it, that's the word dunamis, which is the word where we get dynamite from. The church needs some dynamite. But you shall receive this dynamite power when the, not God comes on you in his form, not when Jesus comes on you in his form, but when the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, now watch this, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Somebody say, that's Jesus. Now, I'm not trying to put the horror back into you, but how many know you can be saved, you can be baptized, and you can love God and go to heaven. But I'm just here to tell you, if you haven't been baptized with the Holy Ghost, you're trying to fight a war without the greatest weapon you can have. That's the difference. You're trying to be holy still on your own account. You are. And it's not working well for you. I've tried it. And if we could get away with that, I would tell you you could get away with it. Just like I always tell you, if there was other ways to heaven and I knew that for a fact, I would tell you there's other ways to heaven. You got to have the truth to set you free. But you can know the truth and not receive it, and you're not going to get set free. When you deny the truth, the Bible says, you know, there's freedom in God's word, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And the truth shall set you free. But having the truth be reality and you activate it is where it's at. Knowing about a truth doesn't make you there. It's activating that truth in your life and believing it for you and receiving it and then operating in it. That's when you know you got it. Amen? Amen. So let's read on. So you're going to do all this. Again, why would you want to fight a war without the greatest weapon available? That'd be like taking a pistol toward a tank. Pew, pew. Yeah. Boom, splat. Yeah. Amen? Or maybe you're a tank. Maybe you're a Bible scholar and you got a tank, but you're a tank against a F-15 that you can't even see, and it attacks you and blows you up. See, you're not just a pistol. You're not a rifle. You're not a tank. You're not an airplane. You are the most powerful weapon on earth to defeat the most worst enemy earth has ever seen, and you need that weapon. I need that. We all need that weapon. Say amen. Now, let me tell you something. You can be saved without being baptized in the Holy Ghost. Absolutely you can. It's a separate event. I have only seen a couple of people get saved and filled with what we call baptized in the Holy Spirit at the same time. I think I saw two people my entire life do that. Most people get saved and they begin to learn and they begin to grow and they begin to read and they begin to study it and they pray and ask and God gives it. That's how most people do it. Some people do it in a prayer line where people are praying for them, laying hands on them. Other people have done it in their prayer time at home. Other people have done it at work. I mean, it doesn't have to be done a certain way. Just like when you can get saved, you don't have to be in church to get saved. Amen? Amen? Oh, it's already that time? Get ready to play a while. That's my sign to shut up, okay? But I'm about halfway through. But anyway. I'm going to try to hurry, okay? I really am because, well. Now, see, the ones that are saying keep on, keep on, y'all are making enemies right now. Of course, he's saying keep on, man. He probably had breakfast this morning. I ain't got nothing to eat. Lord, I cancel his or her prayer right now. Let him shut up, Lord, in about 15 minutes maybe. Keep on. Thank you, Jesus. But You're in the body of Christ, but you're not strong. There's no strength to face the things that life's going to throw at you. That's why a lot of Christians crumble at the first sign of anything. Anybody else notice that besides me? We're supposed to be people of great, bold, just strong faith, but the least little thing comes along and we just yell calf rope and just crawl up and suck our thumb. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. And it's never easy, but can you think of them facing a giant and facing an enemy that you don't have the weapon to defeat them with in the fullness? But then when you get that weapon, you got to use it. Here's the next step. Oh, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit, yada, yada, yada. But are you using your weapon? Well, we're going to talk about that. Now, here's something you need to understand of what Jesus told his disciples here. Go tarry and wait to be in Jerusalem, because he knew the plan he had for his disciples, which became the apostles. He had them scheduled up, and he knew he was going to send them out, and he knew he was going to put them in harm's way, and they were going to go into places that hate them. They're going to preach the gospel. Now, he gave them of himself for 3 years and poured into them. But they wasn't ready. Now he's going away, and that's why he said, you go wait. Don't you try to go into ministry without this. That's what he said. Until I equip you completely, and I can't equip you completely while I'm here with you. So when I go away, now I'm going to be able to equip every single one of you at the same time, the same way. So don't even start your ministry until you've got the fullness of the Holy Spirit in you. I think if they needed him, I do and you do. Can I have a better amen? Amen? Yeah. Go ahead and put that note. Yeah, there it is. It's up there. Let's go on. Real quickly, a misconception about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is going to make me shout, do a chicken dance, and buck dance across the stage and fall out and speak in tongues. He's not going to make you do any of that. Now, there'll be a shout in you he'll bring out. There may be a dance in you. He'll let you dance because it's of God. The dance is of God. The joyful worship is of God. But the same Holy Spirit that'll get you to shout and get you excited and fired up like we was doing a while ago, even come to the altar, is the same Holy Spirit that'll just make you shut up. There's times to pray and speak in tongues, yes, and there's time for let your tongue shut up. He'll make you apologize. That's the same Holy Spirit. He'll make you apologize. He'll make you take a step back where somebody else can take a step up. That's the same Holy Spirit. So don't get caught up in all the theatrics of what you've seen for people that's kind of messed it up sometimes. In my personal note here, he'll make you stand and he'll make you stay in your assignment. Somebody needs to hear that. When you're baptized with the Holy Spirit and you've got the dunamis power of God operating in you, you will stand and stay in the assignment of God until he completes it. Do you know how many church people and how many Christians get offended at church and just, I'm gone. Oh, but I'm Spirit-filled. Do you know how many people in Christian marriages will look and go, don't like her no more. I'm gone. But I'm Spirit-filled. Well, you got spirits filled somewhere. And you need a fresh infilling, and you need to get back to the work of God. You need to get back to your marriage. You need to get back to parenting your kids. You need to get back to your job. Well, nobody likes that kind of preaching. Now, real quickly, go ahead and put up the next note. The Holy Ghost, he is the third part of God, and he's available to every believer on earth. Let me say it again. He's available. Who's he available to? Now, I will say this. Read the scriptures. When you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, something supernatural is happening. You're being endued with power. And in that power, because you are born again into a kingdom of God on earth, and when you get baptized into that citizenship completely with all the kingdom's power, and we talked about this a little bit in the series of kingdom, you get the king's language. And it's not the same as English or any other language on earth. It's the heavenly language. There are several accounts in the Bible where people had that experience that were children of God. Okay? Several accounts, and I don't have to go through all of them, I hope. Do I? Or do I need to? Amen? But it's as the Spirit gives you utterance, the Bible says. Let's look at what the Apostle Luke said in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And when they were all filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, a while ago, we said we could probably trust Luke. I trust him with this. I believe this is an accurate account. I believe this is absolute truth. Can I have a better amen? Amen? It's much more than just speaking in tongues, but yes, that is accompanied with it. And I believe because Satan has the author of confusion, that he has gotten into this gift and this promise from the Father, and he's made it something controversial even within churches and religions. Some believe in it, some don't. Some say, you got to have it or you're going to hell. The others be like, no, you ain't got to have it. You got to have Jesus. The Bible says you got to have Jesus. get Jesus, you're going to heaven. And that's where a lot of people go, good, I don't have to worry about that. I'm like, are you kidding me? That'd be like me, you winning $1 million, and I say, here, will you take a 10? I'm holding $1 million. All of it belongs to you. But now with all that $1 million, there's going to be a lot of responsibilities and a whole new different way of living and a whole new different set of, like I say, pressures with all that. Will you settle for 10? How many's going to take the $10? How many's going to go for the million? Well, then why do you just want to take part of what God offers you and not all of God? It's the Bible. But when those guys, you got to say, when that 120 in the upper room received what they received, it's available still to us today. Do you realize that Peter was one of the biggest screw-ups of Jesus' whole clan? Constantly messing up, letting people down, not following through with his word. And then in the end, Peter's even denying him to the point that he cusses one time, blank, no, I don't know him. Not associated with him. Completely a loser. But after he came out of the upper room, he was filled with the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God. Alive inside of him now, like it had never been before. Can I have a better amen? And Peter, the Bible says, and he preached boldly before anyone. So bold that Peter died for his faith in Jesus. He'd have never done that before the upper room. He'd have tucked tail and ran. As a matter of fact, all the apostles were that way. They all began to preach with boldness, and all of them, with the exception of John, were martyred for their voice in God. They'd have never done that without the power. You won't face death on account of your God unless you got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Wow. What an amazing thing. The disciples went from hiding in fear to coming out and boldly preaching the word of God. Turned the world upside down, these men did. Amen. Real quickly, the Holy Ghost is going to give you four things, and at least these four besides tongues, okay? So it's just, tongues are there. It's real. Shabba shabba, you know. Chevrolet coupe, mow your lawn. Okay? Don't get your feelings hurt. But again, it's more than that. And these are not going to be in your notes, so you may want to just take a quick note. But the Holy Ghost is, number one, he's going to give you the boldness. Now, listen to me now. The boldness to resist sin. Everybody say the boldness to resist sin. Because you got to be bold in your faith to resist the pleasures of your flesh. And I know a lot of good Christians, they do. They love God. They love God. They love Jesus. And they believe that there's some type of spirit, but let's just not fool with it too much. And they struggle with sin. On a daily, weekly, monthly basis, they struggle with the same sins over and over again. And I understand why. There's no real power to overcome it. There's no boldness. Peter and them couldn't do it. Peter and the apostles were hiding out and running. They got power. Now they're bold to overcome the fear, the sin of fear. Real quickly, the second thing, again, it's in the Bible, power to witness. And I don't even know what the latest statistic is, but it's had a spike in the last 3 months, but up until the last 3 months, Christian witnessing was almost at a rock bottom, low. We don't tell anybody we're saved. We don't say anything about Jesus outside of church. We're almost like a double agent. We live and look and talk and do like the rest of the world Monday through Saturday, and we show up to church on Sunday, and a lot of people just sit through a service. Don't even really participate or get or open up to the things of God. And then we go right back to our regular scheduled program the rest of the time. And when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, there's a power that you got that you want people to know you're saved. You want people to know who saved you. And you're willing to tell them about it. That doesn't mean you're going to do it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but in some ways you can do it all the time. And you can do it even with your mouth shut a lot of times. Sometimes that's the biggest witness, is just keep your mouth shut and smile. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Real quickly, Holy Spirit and fire. And I ain't got time to go into fire. But the one thing I'll tell you about, he'll give you fire to worship him. That worship a while ago, that was fire. That was passion burning in people. And you may say, well, I thought it was something let them up there. Maybe they're struggling with. What do you think sparked that? Worship. They begin to realize the words they were singing to God about, he's on the mountain and he's in my valley. Why not go to him right now? Just let's get out of the valley and go to the mountain. He'll give you a fire in worship. He'll give you passion, a burning desire to sing not just to him, with him, and about him from your heart. And it'll begin to stir up the Spirit of God within you. And it'll make that flesh uncomfortable. That's why that flesh will say, don't you raise your hand. You're not Pentecostal. I've been sitting where you at. God, I didn't grow up like I am. I grew up in a very conservative, very traditional church. You didn't raise your hand. You didn't even say amen. You didn't even stand during any worship. And you only sang the first, second, and last verse. I don't even know why they wrote a third verse. Totally ignored that third verse. Unless it's just as I am, and then you sung all 19 verses of that every time. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. But God wants a sovereign move in worship. And he wants you to forget everybody else. It's just like you're aflame by yourself with God, and you're just burning in his presence. And you're lighting it up, buddy. But I'm telling you, When you fully walk into the fullness of God's Spirit, you will worship him, the Bible says, in truth and spirit. And that spirit's got a fire under it to worship. And you'll go from a spectator to a participator. I don't care if you're on the front row or the back row or anywhere in between. You'll go from a spectator to a participator. You'll be worshiping for an audience of one. You don't care who is around you. Thank you, Lord. So you'll get boldness to resist sin. You'll get power to be a witness. You'll get fire to worship. And then the last one real quick that's not in your notes, you'll get a strength to endure. And you need that strength, that power strength to endure, because things come and things go. Seasons change. Attacks come, attacks go. Attacks come and they attach things that tries to stay with you throughout the rest of your life. Hurts, habits, and hang-ups, memories. Constantly replaying in your mind and through your emotions, yes. And without the Spirit of God, you'll continue to live those motions, go through all the different guilt, shame, anger, resentment, frustration, and just get mad at God all over again. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, you're able to walk in freedom. A little plug for freedom there. By the way, this Monday night, we'll be doing a Freedom Conference walkthrough. So if you're helping lead that, this is Monday, right? What time? 6 p.m. Be here at church because we're going to do a walkthrough for the conference for those of us that will be participating and working in that conference. Whew. Boldness, power, fire, and endurance. You ain't going to have them without the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I have a better amen? Amen. Put up the last note. We are actually going to start winding down. Without the Holy Ghost, life feels like a horror story. It does. I've tried it without him. I was a good little Christian feller from 16 on up till I was in my 20s. And I was saved and on my way to heaven. But I knew something was missing, even as a saved man, young man. And I got around it. And some people, I'll be honest with you, some people, the Holy Ghost, the people scare you. The Holy Ghost is not scary. Some of them that represent him, yeah, they scare you. Okay? And I got around some of it and exposed to some of it, and I wasn't scared. I was intrigued by it. I'm like, they actually act like they're glad they saved. They act like they're happy about being saved. And so, no reflection on my pastor at all, because my pastor preached every Sunday. I just didn't pay that close attention. It was my fault. So I actually got the Bible out for myself. Imagine that. And I began to read into the book of Acts. And I began to read where there were some disciples traveling back from Ephesus that were saved. They were disciples. And they said, have you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, we didn't even know there was a Holy Ghost. It's like a lot of Christians today. What's this Holy Ghost thing? Well, what we've heard of it, we don't like. We're good. And they said, we've been baptized into John for repentance. And they said, well, man, there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit if you're going to be a follower of Jesus, if you're going to be in ministry, and we're all called to minister, every one of us, and you need this power. And then they were like, lay hands on us. The Bible says they laid hands on them, and when they got through laying hands on them, they began to speak in tongues and prophesy. It's all through the Bible. Paul says, I speak in tongues more than you all. He said, but yet I'd rather prophesy to you, that way you can understand it. Now, I know we're running a little bit late right now already in overtime. We're 1 minute in overtime. Okay. Yes, the best part of the game yesterday. Y'all sit on the edge of the seat and wait for that. So don't get complacent on me here. This is better than any football game. Okay. So with the Holy Spirit, He is there for you in every aspect of your life to empower you in all areas. Can I have an amen? Amen. So without the Holy Ghost, it feels like a horror story. But with the Holy Ghost, it becomes a victory story. Now, if we said today, how many of you, the old saying in the open, how many of you want the victory? And the church would go, woo! And then they don't come get it. I want the victory, but I don't want to do the work to get it. I don't want to step out into something that is a promise from the Father, and that Jesus backs up, and John the Baptist backs up, and Luke backs up, and the whole New Testament backs up, and even the Old Testament in the book of Joel when it prophesied about it. I don't want nothing to do with that. I just want the victory that comes to me. Can I give you one more Jesus moment? Just say yeah, because you're going to get it anyway. Okay. Again, everybody say this, Jesus. John chapter 14, verse 17. The Spirit of truth. If you study that out, he's talking about the Holy Ghost. He's a spirit, and he's the truth of God. The Spirit of truth, whom the world, the cosmos systems of the lost world, cannot receive. Why? Because it either sees him or knows him. The world don't know Jesus. The world's not seeing Jesus. Come on. They don't know him. They don't see him. They don't want to hear him. They don't want to know about him. But you know him. If he saved, waved at me. Woo! You know him. You know this Savior named Jesus. You know him. You know the Spirit of truth too. For he dwells. Everybody say dwells. He dwells in you and will be in you. I probably need to take 3 weeks to explain this verse, but I'm not going to do it today. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, they don't know him, they don't want to see him, but you know him. He dwells in you. Jesus, again, let me say, Jesus is not inside you. He's at the Father's right hand, tangibly. His Spirit, his Holy Spirit, the third person of God, is what not just comes to you, but he dwells in you. The word dwell there comes out of the Greek and Hebrew word we use for tabernacle. He tabernacles inside of you. And he's got the weapon of his choice, which is the word of God by the Spirit of himself, to loose you into a dynamic warfare that you never lose. Are you with me? That's what makes the Holy Ghost so vital to Christians. See, you don't have to go chasing after him anymore. Old Testament, they had to follow after him. He's in the cloud. He's in the fire. Where's he at now? They would get visitations from the Holy Spirit, but no residency, no dwelling. And now you don't have to go seeking and chasing after him. When you get baptized in him, he dwells inside you. He has set up a tabernacle of worship and praise and the presence of Almighty God inside of every believer. Don't get excited. Y'all okay? I don't have to chase his presence. His presence is in me. Can I have a better amen? That's why the devil is so afraid of a believer that's been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because when you ain't baptized in the Holy Spirit, you got to kind of chase after these things of God. And when you're chasing after him and you're not filled with him, the devil can come eat your lunch and pop your bag. Some of y'all ain't got a clue what that is. We used to take paper sack lunches. And if the bully wanted to, he'd take your lunch, he'd eat your sandwich, and then you could take that paper sack and blow in it, and he'd make a little thing, and he'd pop your bag in front of your face. And that's what the devil wants to do to you. And he'll do that unless you've got enough power to stop him. And so today, don't just settle for a touch. Ask God for an infilling and a dwelling of his Holy Spirit in you to baptize you into the Holy Spirit. Amen. How many know the church needs this? Well, first of all, you and I need it. And as we get it, how many know the church needs it? Don't go after another religion with it. Don't go after somebody's ritual with it. Go after what the Bible says it is. Amen. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. Okay? You got that? Go ahead and stand to your feet. Read to you Acts chapter 2. The Bible says they were all filled. Everybody say they were all filled. Not some of them. You hear me out? Not some of them. All of them got filled. They were probably on different levels of education. They were in different levels of financial things. They were in different levels, in all different levels. But when they all sought the same thing and got in unity, they all got filled. So don't worry if you can have it or not. You're part of the all. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're part of the all. Not just the special ones, but all of them. And today you're one of his special ones. You're all of them, amen? So just bow your heads. Now again, we've done had a little bit different service, so we might as well just keep on being a little different today out of the normal flow. That's okay. And there's so much more you could preach on this, but I've preached to you enough to where you ought to know from the words of Jesus himself, from the words of his forerunner, John the Baptist, and from one of his apostles, Luke, that you've got enough evidence in your teaching right now this morning and releasing that it's real and that God's a promise and that God said it's free and you can have it. So I'm asking you this morning, is this something you want? Because I cannot force feed you anything, but I will preach you the whole counsel of the Word of God and not leave this out. And I believe that every believer ought to at least seek it. And here's one of the tricks of the enemy, because this is one of the ones that I struggled with until I got it. But what if I go up there and I don't get it? And then it dawned on to me, well, what if you do, dummy? And I went up to several prayer lines with several powerful men of God and let them put their hand on me, and I'm just arms up and open, and nothing happened. Nothing. And then I went back and questioned my salvation. Oh, God, I'm probably not even saved then. I remember. I didn't read enough the other day probably to make God happy enough to give it to me. Oh, I can remember when I did this bad. He's probably still holding that against me. That's why I didn't get it. Guys, listen to me now. The only reason I didn't get it is because I was my own worst enemy. There was nothing else blocking my receiving it but me. And the devil whispering all that lies to me. And I've shared this. I'm going to share it real quickly. I got to the point where I was tired of chasing after it. I knew it was real. I had studied it out for myself in the Bible. And I told God, I said, God, I believe it. I believe it 100%, God. And I want to thank you for it. But Lord, here's the deal. I'm tired of worrying about it. I'm tired of being tore up. I'm tired of the enemy tempting me and all these things. I'm your child. I am saved. I'm born again. And I thank you for that. And listen, God, I'm going to serve you as hard as I can the rest of my life. I don't care. And if you give it to me, I'll thank you for it. If you don't let me have this, I'm still going to thank you and serve you the rest of my life, 100%, no difference. And I said, so today, God, I receive it by faith, but I lay it at your feet in your timing. If you want me to have it, fine. If you don't, I'm still going to serve you because I still love you. And guys, I got a breakthrough that night. I didn't receive it that night, but I felt peace. And I didn't think about it. I didn't study about it. And it was several weeks later, I'm by myself praying. Nobody around me, nobody touching me, wasn't even in a church building. And as I was praying, just peacefully praying, a language come out of me, and I'm like, oh my gosh, here it is. Now what am I going to do with it? And I didn't know. And after I got it, I had this great feeling, but I also went immediately into being afraid. because nobody in my circle believed in it. And I was going to fix, I was fixing to be made fun of and ostracized, and I knew it. So the next couple of weeks, I didn't tell nobody. And when I felt that urge come up in me again to pray in that type of language, I just stopped praying. And it was a miserable 2 weeks of my life. And I'm like, how can I deny God access to the Father's promise in my life? And so I began to loose it. And I've never wanted to do it for show or that or that or that or the other. But I can tell you today, it's one of the most joyful times I have with God every day is when I have that prayer time when I can pray in His Spirit. And I pray a lot in English too. And things that I used to get worried about, I no longer worry about. Things that used to just fly off the handle about. Why? Because there's a power now that gives you the superpower of common sense even on earth. And it's called the Holy Spirit. And that's my experience. But I want to tell you today, you can have your experience with Him. And I would like to invite you today, if you want that. I believe it's available. I know it's available for you today. And if you can just get the distractions out of the way and receive the truth of the Word. And you got to receive Him by faith. And it's no greater faith to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit than it was for you to receive salvation by faith. It's the same faith. Just to believe, receive it, and open up and activate. And so if you're here this morning, and I'm just going to give you a quick prayer, and I'm just going to pray it, and I don't want you to pray it out loud even right now. You can if you want to, but after I get, I'm going to read it through twice. I'm going to read to you what I'm going to pray, because I don't want you to get into something, go, he's trying to trick us into. So I'm going to read it through, don't say nothing, and I'll read it through again. If you want to say it, you can say it, but it's real quick. Lord, baptize me with your Holy Spirit, and let the evidence flow from my lips. Baptize me with the Holy Ghost and fire right now. That's it. And if you can believe to receive that, it'll probably come. If you're in doubt and fear, I'd go ahead and say it. Even if you don't get it like me, you just keep believing and studying and going, and then finally just give it to God maybe. But I'm going to repeat that for anybody that wants to repeat along this morning. Lord, baptize me with your Holy Spirit and let the evidence flow from my lips. Baptize me right now with the Holy Ghost and fire. I believe and I receive in Jesus' name. Now here's what we're going to do with that. You can look up. I'm going to encourage you in just a moment. I know it's already 11:30, dear God. But I believe that we're in a timeless spot right now. If you meant that and you want that, I'm going to ask you to come up front here in just a minute. And yes, there'll be people up here to pray with you, but I don't want them to pray with you right out of the gate. I want you just to come out here, and I want you to begin to pour your heart out to God. And I want you to tell Him how much you love Him. And I want you to go ahead and thank Him for doing what you just prayed for Him to do. And I believe as you're praying in English, you'll probably switch at some point in time to a heavenly language. And if you don't, maybe just say, somebody, would you come lay hands on me to receive fullness? And then some of our elders and leaders will come lay hands on you and pray for you. Because there is the gift of impartation. It's biblical. Okay? But the reason I'd rather you get it like the first way is because that organic moment just between you and God, you'll never deny it. And even with the laying on of hands, you'll realize you're not getting their language, you're getting your own. But it's just the power of agreement from somebody who's already experienced it comes in. There's an impartation of agreement with you that boosts your faith, and they come and you marry your faith together and it increases. So, do you understand what I'm saying? If you don't, I understand. Listen, if you don't understand some of this stuff, that's okay. Don't run away. I'm not preaching on this next week. Okay? But what I'm saying is it's real, and if you have any questions, I'll be here during the week. I had questions, and I didn't have nobody to go to. I would have loved to have had somebody I could have went and talked to. But I didn't have nobody except God, and I think that was the way He wanted me, okay? But I'm here for you, and I'll discuss it and answer any questions you have about it and show you more scriptures. Would love to do that with you. But right now, we're going to pray. We're going to receive this morning's tithes and offerings. We're just going to pray over it real quickly. If you're here for the first time, maybe you came to see Stephen baptized and you belong to another church, do not give your tithe to Journey Church. It belongs to your home church. We're just honored you're here. For the rest of us, you can give online and in the buckets in the back, whatever. Let's just pray over it real quickly. Father, thank you for the tithe. Bless it in your name. Make us good stewardships over the 90 that you allow us to keep. All for your glory, the church says. Amen. All right. One more prayer. This altar's open for anything now. these altar calls like this scare some people away because they're like, well, I wanted to go up there and get prayed because I got a surgery coming up, or I've got a test result coming back, or I've got school or something test. And you're like, I don't want to go up there because they'll think I'm getting the Holy Ghost or something. No, you come on anyway. And if anybody judges, they need to be up here too, okay? Okay? They're the ones that really need to be up here, okay? But don't let this certain call for the altar hinder you from coming up and getting prayed. We'll pray with you about anything. As a matter of fact, I may be understood that I may be baptizing Freddie, a dog, here pretty soon. Franklin? Frankie the dog, okay? You know, it's an inside joke. liar, liar, liar. Hats on fire. No, it's not lying. It's called good pranking somebody. But I may share that with you a little bit next week. But we're in a good, solid moment here. But again, come up for anything you need prayer for. We love you guys. We want to pray for you. We want you to leave blessed. Amen? So let's pray together. At the end of this prayer, if you need prayer for anything, you come up. If you prayed that little short prayer, I want you to come up and receive this morning. Okay? Don't leave without it, man. Come get your weapon this morning, okay? Free weapons. Father, thank you. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And you are the weapon of the Holy Spirit. And God, I thank you, and I pray that the Holy Spirit would bring these scriptures more clear than anything I've been able to do today, God. And it's the Holy Spirit that leads us to himself for his power and glory inside of us. And so, Lord, we're not afraid because we trust Jesus, we trust John the Baptist, and we trust the Apostle Luke. And we know it's from the Father, and it's a promise. So, Lord, I just pray that people by faith would come this morning for anything they need, Lord, but especially that baptism of your Holy Spirit. And let your language be relevant in their lives, Father. Let it come forth with power and demonstration, as the Bible says. And so, Lord, we thank you for this morning, God. And if we don't need prayer, we're going to go love on each other, and we're going to bless each other on our way out of here. Then we'll be back next week for a special service, God, with an illustration attached to it. In Jesus' name, come on, say this with me. Say, I love you, Jesus. I trust you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give me my hand clap of praise.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.